Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, a warm welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly are looking ahead to a feast of great racing. Something for everyone. Flat fans will absolutely love the Breeders' Cup, I'm sure. Enable bidding to gild her amazing career even further. Roaring Lion as well. Some great stuff there. But first, we will be looking ahead to the Saturday jumps action, which principally takes place at Wetherby, Ascot and Down Royal. There's some really, really good names. Just a slight shame that the unseasonably dry autumn means that the field sizes are slightly smaller than normal, and obviously the anticipated clash between Thistlecrack and Bristol Demai in the big race, the Charlie Hall Chase, won't take place. But there's loads of really great names coming back from their summer hibernation, and we will crack on with all the great racing, starting with the ITV Saturday action. Three races at Wetherby, starting with the 205, the OLBG.com Mare's Hurdle. Niall, how are you doing? Have you got some betting for us on this one?
I do indeed, Bruce. Irish Row is our 6-4 favourite. Lady Buttons is 15-8. Oscar Rose is 9-2. What's the Jazz 10-1. Mystic Sky 20-1. And Cubs Win is 25-1.
Kills, you confident about this weekend?
I would say confident. It's one of those weeks, you know, where I'm probably going to have loads of bets, but not the sort of prices that I want to bet at because they're small fields. But yeah, we'll have a little crack. This Mare's Hurdle just seems to be, yeah, on the figures, it's a two-runner race between Irish Row and Lady Buttons. Oscar Row is fairly short for a horse that's rated a fair, you know, £18 in total behind Irish Row, for instance. So, you know, I think one of the front two will win. Lady Buttons form, I like Lady Buttons. She went chasing last year. She did really well. She ran in a couple of decent hurdle races as well. I think she might have been second in this race. But all of her form is on soft ground. I think Irish Row is just slightly better suited to better ground and the one to beat.
Keels' first tip of the day, Irish Row, 205 at Wetherby. G-Rod, who do you like in this?
Yeah, summed that up pretty well. As you know, I'm not a huge fan of mare's races.
I didn't know that, actually. How am I meant to know that?
I'm sure I've told you before, okay, but you probably won't take much notice of me complaining about it.
Okay, I now know.
But particularly mare's hurdles, because like this, you know, they end up being very uncompetitive. And this one is a two-horse race between Irish Row and Lady Buttons, and surely Lady Buttons wants off the ground, so it should be straightforward for Irish Row.
Niall, do you echo what the lads say?
Yeah, I think Irish Row just wins this. She'll love the ground. The way she travels, I think she'll just have too much class. Lady Buttons is useful, though she had her limitations exposed at the end of last season. And Oscar Rose has been beaten favourite way too many times for my liking. So, it's Irish Row for me as well.
Nice and simple. We're off and running. The 240 is the bet. 365, Charlie Hall Chase. Real shame that we've only got five runners, but it's still an intriguing heat and quite competitive, Niall.
Black Horton is our 7-4 favourite. Double Shuffle is 5-2. Definitely Red is 7-2. Virgilio 4-1 and Regal Encore is 16-1.
Interesting race, Graham. Who do you think will cross the line in front?
Yeah, I have this down as the sort of race that Black Horton just wins, or Paul Nichols wins, probably is more accurate. You know, the sort of early season race where he has that pretty smart type tuned up right to perfection. And obviously, Black Horton's got the ground, loves fast ground, and he's going to probably be able to dictate this race. I don't see any huge pace, you know, potential pace against him. I know definitely Red can go from the front, but Bryony Frost gave Frodon a lovely ride last week at Aintree in a similar sort of race. I can see Black Horton making all. My only concern, I suppose, is the price. I mean, 2-1 now is fairly short, considering he's got a fair bit to find with Double Shuffle at the weights. I mean, if Double Shuffle was to run to the form where he finished second in the King George last year, I mean, you know, he'd make them all go, but he has a habit of finishing second, doesn't he? And Black Horton has a habit of winning, and I'd rather be on the one that's got the habit of winning.
So you're on Black Horton.
Yeah.
Who are you on, Niall?
I'm not really sure the market's right here. I think definitely Red is probably the value, purely from a class angle over this trip. I was tempted by Virgilio, though he was exposed in this grade before, and to be honest, I'd prefer if Harry Skelton was riding. Black Horton, he's obviously very useful, he looks very short. Double Shuffle is jumping issues, and I think he might just need this, particularly over this longer trip. So yeah, I'm going to side with definitely Red, who I have the least doubts about.
and kills.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange race because, you know, this time of year it's all about how well prepared you are rather than how good you are. I mean, I just had a look. I think only two of the last 10 winners of this race were actually the best in at the weights. And Double Shuffle is, by some, you know, by a fair way, the best in the weights. He's getting £3 from Black Courton. He'd be giving him £9 in a handicap. But, you know, on those figures, if he was running right-handed, I mean, you would cut your right arm off to get 5-2. But he isn't. His best form figures right. His best form right-handed is, if there's two runs right-handed, a £17 and £26 below his best left-handed, which is a hell of a lot. I mean, you know, that King George II is a big outlier anyway, but, I mean, he is still a long way below his best. So I can't have him. Definitely Red. I just think he wants further now, and very soft ground, at least at this trip. So I would have to say Black Courton, even though you could argue that it's miles too short, is very much the one to beat.
Okay, 3:15, the Bet365 hurdle, the old West Yorkshire hurdle, some familiar names in this. And Niall, how do Paddy Power bet?
So this is our MBS race, so it's money back all losers if Holstone wins. And he's our 11-10 favourite. Old Guard is 4-1, Klein is 6-1, Keeper Hill is 8-1, Monbeg Theatre 8-1, Nautical Knit with 12-1, and High Secret is 25-1.
Okie dokie. Holstone bidding to go one better than last year. Niall, you can go. Oh no, Kills, it's your go to go first. No, it's not. Niall, it's yours.
Okay. This looks a penalty kick to me for Holstone. It looks a really, really poor race. And I think the second and third favourites have major stamina doubts. Holstone, he's well clearing ratings and he just should be winning this. The interesting one from an each way perspective might be Keeper Hill, who looked good at times last season and definitely wants 3 mile. But yeah, it's definitely Holstone for me.
Holstone for Niall. Who for you, Paul?
I mean, I might take a chance on Old Guard getting the trip on good ground. I mean, he definitely didn't stay out on soft ground last year. He does seem, as he's getting older, to be wanting a lot further than 2 miles. And he does stay 2.5 mile reasonably well. He won the old Game Spirit or whatever. No, not a Game Spirit, National Spirit.
National Spirit, yeah. Well, yeah,
that's it. That's only 2 mile 2, but that was on bad ground and it took a real stand performance to win. He's still got to prove it. Holstein's best form is on soft ground. I think he'd probably be okay on good ground. Klein definitely wants very soft ground. So I see him drifting. And on the figures, everything else has just got to really, really come up trumps and be a bit better than they have been.
So you're going...
So I'll have a little go on Old Guard, but it'll be a very small bet.
Okay. G-Rod?
Well, Holstone's best form is at Cheltenham. I mean, he's a Cheltenham horse. And I think that all he does is stay. And I'm not sure this track really suits him. I know he was second here last year, but he was beaten by also not really fit enough to lace his boots. I'd be dead keen to take him on this track. I think it's pretty tight around Weatherby. And if Old Guard's ever going to get 3 miles, it's going to be around there. He's got good ground, so he's not going to be put. That's not going to be putting too much emphasis on stamina. I could see Old Guard outspeeding him.
Okay, 2 votes for Old Guard and 1 for jolly old Holstone. Right, that was Weatherby. Well done, lads. We're absolutely in full flow now, and we will now look at the 4 ITV4 races at Ascot, beginning with the 150, which is the Ascot Underwriting Chase. Give us the latest show, Niall.
Yeah, so When You're Ready, Freddy is our 5-2 favourite. Stern Reuben is 7-2. Amor de Nuit, 7-2. Pepe Le Pew is 7-1. Larry is 8-1. Kai Delan, 12-1. And 16-1 in Amina.
Have you got this one, Sus Kills?
I would say Sus. I mean, I think When You're Ready, Freddy's going to take a fair bit of beating. He's, you could argue he's got the best form. He was second and he gave Lil Rockefeller a fair race at Utoxa last time. Jumped well enough. That's a decent bit of form. The other ones that have run over fences, I think they're handicapped up to what they are. Amor de Nuit, Stern Reuben, really, really likes Ascot. Some really good hurdles for him around there, but I don't think he jumps well enough. I don't think he likes it. The danger at a bigger prize could be Larry for Gary Moore. Gary Moore won the race with Benatar last year. He actually had a double on this card last year. He considered good enough to run in a Grade 1 bumper at Aintree on its on only his second start a couple of seasons ago. Took time to get going over hurdles. Had a tongue tie put on. Won his last 2 races. Seems to be going the right way now. I think he might go well, but still, first time up, he's going to have to be really well handicapped off 1-2-9 to beat When You're Ready, Freddy.
So you're going with the jolly, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, God, let's hope Derek Thompson isn't common sentence. Can you imagine? When you're ready, Freddy. I don't think he will. He doesn't tend to do Ascot, does he?
No, if it was Yarmouth, he might be down there somewhere. Yeah, one of the old favourites.
Who wins, G-Rod?
Larry for me. Yeah, sort of jumped out at me when I looked at this race. As Kills has already said, Gary Moore won the race last year with Benatar, pretty smart type, and I like the profile this one, very similar to Benatar, coming in off a couple of wins over hurdles, unexposed over fences. It's just quite a stiff test of jumping round there, Scott, so he's going to need to be at it first time up in quite a competitive race, but you know, that's factored into the price at around 8-10 to 1. I'm happy to take Larry.
Righty-ho, and Niall, who do you like?
Yeah, the one I really like here is Amor de Nuit for Paul Nicholls. Now, he's not bred for chasing, so I was kind of amazed at how well he jumped on his chase debut, and then he backed that up at Ludlow recently when I thought he would have beaten it for a fairly useful horse, easily had that one not fallen. He's gone up £3 for that, though still looks well treated over fences to me, off the opposition. When you're ready, Freddie is fav, though I wouldn't really trust him given his profile. Stern Rubin looks an awful jumper, so I couldn't back him. Larry could be the big danger, but I just don't know how his form stacks up in the context of his mark. So yeah, I'll be sticking with Amor de Nuit.
Okay, the theme of small runners is running through this whole afternoon and is again apparent in the 2:25, the Burn Group Handicap Chase. Just the five runners over 2 mile, 1 furlong, and Paddy Power as follows.
So Shanty Rock is our 13-8 favourite. Champagne of Tara is 7-2. Ink Master 5-1. Bosnia Romane is 7-1, and Rock on Rocky is 16-1. There's a non-runner here. I think Gard Le Victoire is after
Gard Le Victoire is a non-runner. That's exactly right. Yeah, so we're just the five. G-Rod, who'd you like?
I thought this was a really good opportunity for Shantou Rock. The problem is there have been several of those before. I can remember looking at Shantou Rock thinking this is a great opportunity. He's just going to go out and make all and they won't see which way it goes. And then he goes out and makes all, jumps beautifully, and then gets caught near the line or caught in the straight. And that is obviously a bit of a worry, particularly with horses like Champagne at Tara in the race, because, I mean, he's been a bit of an old rogue, that one. But he's got loads of talent and it seems to have finally got the key to him. The last couple of runs. I'm sort of weighing up whether I want to take 13-8.
Could you be weighing up before you come in here, Giro, and then just like tell us what you think is going to happen? Is that
about
possible? Shantou. That's how it tends to work.
I'm sure Ink Master isn't good enough. So it's a match between the top two in the market. And I would rather back Shantou Rock at 13-8 than a rogue-like character like Champagne at Tara at 5-2, but I'm not entirely convinced that Shantou Rock isn't a rogue himself, if you know what I mean. It's a really strange race.
Okay.
But I think Shantou Rock might make off.
Oh, we got there in the end.
But I'm just not sure the price.
Okay. Niall, in equally emphatic fashion, tell us who you fancy.
Well, he's actually going to be shorter now because the non-runner just came out when I was halfway through the betting there. So he's probably going to be 11-8 if that tempts him anymore. I was all set to put up Gard Le Victoire. So I'm a bit lost here. But the one I was kind of tempted at a price was Vosne Romane. Just because he's switching headgear, and I think he'd run a lot better than he showed the last day. He's not particularly well handicapped. But again, I wouldn't be taking too short a price bet Shantou Rock myself. So yeah, Vosne Romane for me.
Who do you like, Kills?
Sorry, but the fav's a good thing, isn't it? Shantou Rock. The last four horses that have finished in front of Shantou, Diego de Charmel, Petit Mouchoir, Surname, and So Royal. Like, you know what I mean? He's not been running against mugs, anyway, he's been getting beaten. He goes really, really well fresh as well. He absolutely bolted up on good ground first time out over fences last year at 7-2. Champagne at Tara has been, you know, winning really, really easy coming from the back. But if you see the last three times he's run on a right-handed track and see how badly he's jumped, going the wrong way round, rest aren't good enough, Shantou Rock will win.
There you go. Lovely. 3 o'clock, the Ascot Handicap Hurdle over just short of 2 miles. And Niall, how did Paddy Power bet on this one?
So Magic Dancer is our 7-2 favourite. Global Citizen is 9-2. Simply to Bet is 5-1. Divin Bear 7-1. Fiduk 7-1. Case Marcus 10-1. Sussex Ranger 12-1. Sparkle and Shine is 16-1. And Jumpin' Jack is 20.
Finally, a race with three places for each way punters. Niall, who do you like?
Yeah, I'm really keen on one here. Simply to Bet. Yeah, I'm fairly convinced he's the best treated horse in this field. And now he's a bit inconsistent last season. He always seemed to shape really well, but they were in really good races, particularly when he was second to Beyond the Clouds at Musselburgh, with Clayman taking Forgan in behind him, so that looks like really strong form. Just for context, some of the horses that finished in behind him last season, Black Op, who's now rated 152, Clayman taking Forgan, who's now rated 151, The Clock is Ticking, rated 138, and Ballymoy, who's rated 142. It points towards Simply to Bet being absolutely chucked in of 130. He's also had the benefit of a run where he did look a little bit laboured, but I think he beat a good horse with Sue Smith's that day. I can actually see a lot of cash for this, so anything 6-1 or bigger that's out there at the moment, I think should be snapped up. I think he could go off favourites.
Breaking news, Sam Crowe's just got beat. Bedrock.
Oh, yes.
What?
Back to
did you? That's good then, isn't it? 12-1, well done, Kills. Meanwhile, Kills, who wins the 3 o'clock at Ascot on Saturday?
Right, well, I backed two earlier in the week. One of them's Magic Dancer. He
don't care.
He got fairly thumped by Storm Rising at Cheltenham, but Storm Rising just looked like a horse that was really, really well handicapped. And Magic Dancer finished second first time out last season, then went on to complete a double. And you know he was rated around 100-ish on the flat in his time. He's only running off a mark of 128 in his second season with Kerry Lee. Won 3 times for her last year. Got to go well. And the other one, a bit of what David Jennings was called a guilty pleasure, is Fiduk's a horse that I just back all the time, and he very, very rarely, if ever, gets what he needs, and that's a fast run race on good ground, which he's guaranteed to get this time. So I like him as well. He won a 2-bob race at Southall that he probably didn't need to win to come into this much more valuable race off a £5 higher mark, but he is still well enough treated to go well.
Okay, G-Rod, come on, hit us with one.
Yeah, I think Kills has been raiding my tracker because a long-time member is Fiduk. In fact, ever since I backed him at Sandown around about this time last year, when I'm absolutely convinced he would have beaten Maria's Benefit, and he was trying to give Maria's Benefit £7 that day. I think Maria's Benefit went on to win another 6 or something. She obviously improved well out of recognition. Fiduk, after that, I just kept backing him, and he kept running well in the second or third. Things didn't quite go his way, whatever. But what he needs is he needs a fast run, 2 mile, stiff track, good ground, just like Kills just said. He's going to get that. A nice stiff finish. He really finishes well over 2 miles. He sometimes shapes as though he wants 2.5, but I think what he wants is a strongly run 2. He's going to get that here. And last time out should have been the confidence booster that he needed. It was quite a weak race that he won at Southall. He has gone up in the weights for it, but he needed to get his head in front, I think, because he just was on one of those sort of runs where he just finished second, third. And to get that win, I think that might make all the difference to him, Fiduk.
Okay, jolly good. 3:35, Sodexo Gold Cup. Take us through the latest betting, Niall.
Yeah, Gold Conquer is our 3-1 favourite. Traffic Fluid is 5-1. Adrian the Pont is 6-1. King's Lad is 6-1. Geordie of Deschamps is 13-2. Too Many Diamonds is 10-1. And it's 11-1 bar.
Kills, take it away.
If the Fav jumps as well as he did when he won this race last year, he'll win again. He's only £5 high. He won it extremely easily last year. He's gone from John Jarrell to Nigel Twiston Davis, and he'll know about the horse's form and that he wants good ground. And he's another horse that goes exceptionally well fresh. I think he was just touched off by Present Man first time out 2 seasons ago, won first time out last year. Going to take a lot of beating. If there's one that's a big price, I would say it is Art Maresque. I think he's a decent horse on his day on a right-handed track on decent ground, and that's what he gets. Paul Nicholls has taken £5 off him with Lorcan Williams. He's had a run as well, and I think he'll go better than his odds.
Graham,
Adrian Dupont. I thought this had another look of one of those races that Paul Nicholls would win early season. And this one loves Ascot, will be best form at Ascot. He won there over hurdles, and he's twice finished second there since. The stamina is the doubt, and it is, as we know, a stiff test at Ascot. But Go Conquer will be going fairly hard from the front. I expect them to have Adrian Dupont settled in behind, and hopefully he can pick them off late.
Okay, yeah, that's a rubbish tip, Kills.
He ran that funny race last year there where we just pulled and pulled and pulled, and that was over 2.5 mile, and he just stopped almost to a walk. I mean, if he does that at 3 mile, you know, you won't be seeing him at the end. Even so, I mean, he's got to stay. I mean, yeah, the most likely result is he finishes out the back of the telly.
Okay. All right, Niall, who'd you like?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Geordie Deschamps here for Rebecca Curtis, who has her horses in great nick at the moment. His last run was in the Summer Cup at Uttoxeter, where he travelled and jumped really well, looming up around 3.8, but then just failing to stay the trip. It was, I think, an extended 3-mile 2, and he finished 5th. The winner, Virgilio, goes for Charlie Hall tomorrow, obviously holding a big chance. And the 3rd, Restless Dreamer, won a hot handicap at Cheltenham last week. So I think that form looks really strong. He seems to have been around for a while, but he's still lightly raced, and I think he's well treated off 138. The 3-mile trip at Ascot should really suit him. Gold Conquer is obviously the really big danger, but he's probably, I don't think he's absolutely chucked in, even with the trainer switch. Adrian Lapointe looks well handicapped, though, out of stamina concerns. King's Lad looks badly handicapped, and I don't think Traffic Fluid is one you trust, so it just leaves Geordie Deschamps for me.
Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you, chaps. Back in a mo with the rest of Saturday's domestic action and the Breeders' Cup.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back. Okay, before we get stuck into the Breeders' Cup, the lads are going to give us any other fancies they've got on Saturday, either on the non-televised races at Ascot and Wetherby or Ayr, Damrell, Newmarket or Newcastle. But they're not going to give the naps away. We'll do them later. Kills, who should we be backing?
The first race at Ascot. What time is it? 12:40 at Ascot. I think this Pym is a bit of a talking horse. He's going to be really short, having won over hurdles already. And I think I'm going to take him on with the Alan King trained Rock Steady. He was a 90-ish horse on the flat, a bit of a nutter. Refused to go into stalls on his flat debut for Alan King last month. But, you know, he's a very, very talented two-miler who liked the all-weather, so he won't have any problem with Ascot. And I'll take him on with that. Alan King likes to run a decent novice hurdler at Ascot. We've got the JN Wine.
So you're in the Rock Steady crew, are you, Kills?
That's it, yeah. I've heard of that.
You have?
I have, yeah.
Normally the
yeah.
musical references go straight over your head, but that's amazing.
I have heard of that. At Down Royal, we have the Grade 1 JMWine.com Champion Chase, which is a fantastic advertisement for competitive racing in Ireland, with 7 runners, the first 5 in the betting, all owned by Gigginstown, one of which they bothered to supplement.
Just to make sure.
It's each of two between Balco de Flow and Road to Respect. And, you know, I think I do respect Road to Respect, and he does go well fresh, but I'm a real big fan of Balco de Flow. And, you know, it wasn't a fluke when he thrashed under so at Cheltenham last year. He might have been over the top afterwards, but I'm expecting big things from him this year. So that'll be Balco de Flow. There is one at Newmarket in the last race, which is backing all year. And there it is, Harlequin Striker, Dean Ivory. He's put William Cox on claiming 5. He's been running close to winning for a few, you know, looking like he might be running into form all season and not doing so. But a lot of his best form has come on soft ground. It's going to be soft there tomorrow, so I'll give him one last chance.
Okay. By the way, with the JM1, I'll just quickly read out the Paddy Power prices. 15-8 Road to Respect, 2 Balco de Flow, 3 Sub Lieutenant, 9 Outlander, 20 Don Poli, 20 Woodland Opera and 50 Sandy Mount. Joe, I'm surprised you didn't tip Don Poli.
It's a race isn't over 5 miles.
G-Rod, who have you got in your roundup?
I don't have much, actually. The one thing I did want to point out was the bumper race. I'm always keen to have a look at bumpers because I think they do get overlooked. I think most people just go, well, it's a bumper, I'm not going to bet in that race. Where I like to back newcomers from yards that do well with bumper newcomers because I think it's very hard to carry penalties to victory in bumpers. I think you have to be very, very smart
which
to do so.
Which bumper are we talking about here, G-Rod?
So,
which meeting?
At Ascot, there's a bumper.
Okay, yeah.
And I like Lanterne for Harry Whittington. I've been backing Harry Whittington's bumper horses for consistently for a while, first time out. He does well. They're always underestimated in the market. I think his strike rate is 20% first time up, which is not bad considering that they're all going off, most of them are going off double-figure prices. The worry here is the hood first time out. That, when you see that on a bumper horse first time out, you do start to wonder if this is a hard puller at home. However, provided it doesn't pull too hard, I'm expecting to get a half-decent price on Lanterne, and I'll be backing it each way. This one, the trainer had one finished third the other day, 25-1 at Bangor that I backed each way. And I always think as well, when they're running in the same week, it's possible maybe they've been working together.
Okay, so that's Lanterne in the 4:05 at Ascot. Anything from you, Niall?
Just in the JN Wine Chase. I'll be all over Balco de Flow, as I think Road to Respect needs to go left-handed, and I think he's opposable here. It'd be Balco de Flow for me there. I think there's a really interesting horse in the 120 Down Royal called Ray of Time. Now, it could be a very interesting horse to follow this season. It basically won the same bumper that Somerville Boy won last last season for the same trainer, Sam Curling, and it's been bought by Somerville Boys owner Roger Brookhouse. So I think he'll be interested in there. And the 5 o'clock Newcastle Deputise is just a sectional horse from my tracker, who I think will win, and it could be one to get us out if needed.
Lovely. Okay, right then, let's go across to Louisville and Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup. It's quite handy, this one, because it's only 4 hour time difference. So normally you're waiting for ages for this time. But the first of the races we're going to look at, we're going to look at basically the big five races on the card. There are others, obviously. The 4:38. So basically, we get all the jump stuff, and then we're straight into Breeders' Cup. So that'll be good, Kills, won't it? I know you like the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it's great, actually. I'll be on my way home for Ascot, so we'll nearly be all over by the time I get there. Brilliant.
Will you not really be engaging?
No, not really. I don't really follow American racing. I absolutely despise dirt racing. I think it's incredibly cruel. They have to give them drugs because of what shit that goes down their throats and what it does to their legs. So, I just don't like it. So, I tend not to watch it. I mean, you know, we've got loads of people who do like it, but it's not for me. I might watch some of the turf stuff, but...
You'll watch it all, and you'll bet on it also. Shut up. 4:38 is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Competitive old affair, Niall. How do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, so World of Trouble is our 4-1 favourite. Disco Partner is 9-2. Stormy Liberal is 5-1. Lost Treasure, 11-1. Havana Great, 11-1. And 12-1 bar.
G-Rod, you can go first.
Well, I obviously know absolutely nothing about any of these American horses. I do know a little bit about the Europeans. And the one of the Europeans that I thought was really interesting, and no doubt Niall and the rest of you are going to laugh at me, is Lost Treasure for Aidan O'Brien. This one is a complete rogue.
Doesn't like being in front, does he?
Not at all. Did you see the run last time?
The one at Navan was incredible, wasn't it?
When he hits the front, he just completely puts the brakes on. Yeah. He's absolutely brilliant.
And you like backing those horses, do you?
Unless you've backed him, of course. Yeah. No, it's great if you're a layer. I just thought this, if ever this horse is going to be suited by a race, it might be this one, you know, like one of these weird bonkers American races where they all go hell for leather early and they're all going to be blasting away up front. And there's only one way this horse is going to be ridden. He's going to be right out the back and he's going to be trying to stick his nose in front of the line.
But at least you can back him each way so that if he does slam on the anchors, you
exactly,
get the
there has to be every single chance that they're going to go really hard here and he might well run into a place. And who knows, maybe he can put his nose in front of the line. And it's not like we're taking a short price, is it?
No,
I'm talking
exactly.
Double figures about Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. You know, I mean, I'll be more than happy to back him each way for an interest.
Okay, Niall, before we set off on your first Breeders' Cup tip, are you a Breeders' Cup fanatic, would you say?
No. Oh, wow. I like betting on it, but I tend to kind of just favour the European horses, which sometimes can be to my detriment.
Okay, so who are we going to go for then?
Yeah, I'm not going to laugh at him at all. I'm actually going to back Lost Treasure. Again, I don't know a huge amount about the American horses, but I just can see this setting up really well for him. And the fact he's Ryan Moore up as well, I just think he's a good each way bet because he's so much talent. He could definitely be involved in the finish. It'll take a very good ride to win, but I think he's got a chance.
Okay, and Kills. You're allowed to just say you don't know.
I just don't know. I really don't know, and I don't care.
Okay, fine. We'll move on to the 6:04. The Maker's Mark, Breeders' Cup, Fillies and Mares Turf over the, whatever the trip is, 1 mile and three. And good old Wild Illusion heads the market, Niall.
Yeah, she's our 7-4 favourite. Sister Charlie is 7-2. Azira is 7-1. Four Star Crook is 8-1. Magic Wand, 8-1 and 14-1 bar.
Will you have a bet here, Niall? And if so, who will it be on?
Wild Illusion. I think she could be my banker of the whole meeting. She's ideally drawn in two, so she should get a lovely position. She'll handle any ground. I'm not really sure what it's going to be like tomorrow, but imagine it'll be soft. I can't see any negatives for her at all. She just seems to keep improving as the season goes on. There's obviously negatives for Magic Wand with the ground. Sister Charlie, I'm not really sure what ground she wants looking at her form. Azira should be okay in it, but she's drawn 14. I don't think she's good enough. So it's just Wild Illusion for me.
A flicker of enthusiasm from you for this one, Kills?
Yeah, I do quite like Azira, actually. I think she's, I think she's improving. Yes, the draw obviously isn't great on a Chester type track in stall 14. But, you know, Dermot Well was talking about running this at the start of the season, and that's what he's done. I mean, the only defeat so far this season was in that race at York by Sea of Class, I think she's a decent horse. And Wild Illusion, you've got to remember the two times she ran beyond a mile and a quarter, she got beat. This is a mile and three. It'll be an easy mile and three, obviously, but I don't think she's a certainty by any stretch.
Okay, and Graham.
This, as a punter, often happens where you've got to weigh up your head against your sort of gut, you know, and my head just tells me that Wild Illusion will win.
Same weight, to be fair. Thought I'd get that one in first.
My head tells me that Wild Illusion's absolutely rock solid. Obviously, you know, the best form in the race, great draw, should get a good position, has the speed to be prominent. I don't think the trip would be a big issue, given it's going to be tight track. Loads going for it, but my gut just says a zero. You know, as soon as I looked at this race, I just thought, what is Dermot World doing having this runner here? We know that Dermot World doesn't waste runners, particularly all over the world. When he travels them, they usually go well. And then you see Frankie Dettori booked up. You're like, well, that looks interesting. A quick look through her form. She's got every chance of form. Obviously, the only worry is the draw, or the post position, as they would call it in the US. She's drawn out wide, but we don't know how the draw's going to go yet. We haven't seen any races.
I think they've been racing there for about 200 years, so they've got half a clue.
Apparently, there's a fresh strip of ground they're opening up right on the inside.
Okay.
And sometimes that can be a great fresh strip of ground, and sometimes it can be really dead. You know, so you might not want to be drawn on the inside if it ends up being dead. We won't know until we've seen a few Breeders' Cup races on that fresh strip of ground. And if it does turn out to be dead and she ends up on the wide outside, that might not be a bad thing. And she's a much bigger price than Wild Illusion as well, you know, four or five times the price. So I'd be backing a zero as well.
Okay, plenty of British and Irish representation in our next race. It's the Breeders' Cup Mile. It takes place at 7:36. Gustav Klimt heads the market, Niall.
Yeah, Polydream obviously just recently came out of this race, so Gustav Klimt is left at the top of the market at 9-2. Oscar Performance is 6-1, Happily 7-1, Expert Eye 7-1, I Can Fly 15-2, 11-1 One Master, and 14-1 Bar.
14-1 Bar includes Lightning Spear Kills, who I shall be backing. Who will you be backing?
Well, look, I don't know anything about the American formula, but the market is almost entirely dominated by British and Irish horses. When we have the worst bunch of milers we've had for about 25 years. I mean, you know, how can that be? I mean, they're absolute garbage, aren't they? I mean, you've got to remember, Roaring Lion won the QE2 despite absolutely hating the ground and still running the best part of £12 below form. I mean, you know, they're rubbish. Stick Oscar Performance in exactas with all the other American horses. That's what I'd do.
Okay. Sometimes... Sometimes stud farms quote journalists when they advertise their stallions. I'm not sure they're all garbage. Paul Keeley Racing Post is going to feature in any of those adverts. Graham, what's your approach going to be here?
I love that argument from someone who just said he knows absolutely nothing about the American.
Well, I know that we're rubbish. That you so know. Therefore, back the others.
Yeah, but okay. Aren't the American miners usually rubbish as well?
Yes. Yes, but they might be so far behind
but
this year.
Kills
if they are, they're running in cellars.
Kills has just almost shot their market because by saying that Roaring Lion ran so far below form to still win the Q2. But the way I looked at the race was, if Roaring Lion was in this race, what price would he be? You know, he would surely be favourite for this race.
He would
be a lot shorter than 2-1. And as a result, I can't be having I Can Fly at double figures, I think you can get. I mean, she was a massive price because she ran a huge race to get so close to him last time at Ascot, albeit, yes, maybe he was well below form. Obviously, Century Dream was only half length behind him in third, and he holds the form down a little bit. But I Can Fly has got that profile of the Aidan O'Brien trained filly that I like. You know, the sort of horse that seems to have had loads and loads of runs and doesn't look any good, and then suddenly he seems to find a key to them, and
like
then they
found.
Can take off. Like a found, like what was that other one he had that won loads and loads and loads? Peeping Fawn, wasn't it? It was called. Was another one who didn't look anything special, and then suddenly took off. I'm not saying I Can Fly is in the same league as them. She's probably not, but he definitely found something that day from her that we hadn't seen before, and if he can bring her on again, I think that she has a good chance.
Niall, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd actually be quite keen on Gustav Klimt here. I just think he's everything in his favour. I'm not sure they've ever really had him right this season, but his last two runs have been amongst his best. He handles any ground. Probably his best run came in the Sprint Cup on heavy, so the soft ground would be fine. Now, he's not well drawn, he's in 13, though I don't think it matters as much as like two of the ones drawn inside him are obviously stable mates, and now Polydream's gone as well, so it should be okay in terms of getting a decent position. Oscar Performance, I'm not sure how good he is, but he should blast out from stall 5 and set a really strong pace, which will hopefully set it up for the likes of Gustav Klimt. Like Expert Eye on the ground, I couldn't have him, he's 7-1. Yeah, so the more I look at Gustav Klimt, he's definitely the better in the race.
Okay, it gets interesting. 8:56, the mighty Enable is back. bidding to win the Breeders' Cup Turf and a very, very warm favourite, Niall.
Yeah, she's 4-7. Magical is 11-2. Wall Guy 6-1. Talismanic 16-1. Challenmaker 16-1 and 28-1 bar.
What do you think of that price then, G Rod? 4-7 in Able.
If she is anywhere near her best, she'll win by a mile, won't she? I mean, she's different class to this lot. I think the concern you have to have is, obviously she I don't think she should have won the Arc. You know, I think Sierra Class was the best horse in that race. I know she beat the rest well, but she did get the run of things that day. Now, afterwards, John Gosselin came out and said she's only 80% right. Well, fair enough. If that was the case and she does come on again, then she'll win. But there's just enough doubts there for me. I know she won the Arc, but to me, she wasn't in the same sparkling form that I saw her last season, and I wouldn't want to take such a short price about her.
So what are you going to do then?
I would probably back Waldgeist, who she beat in the Arc.
Each way?
This is a bit of a stealing race, though, isn't it?
That's
you know,
all right.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, you won't get arrested.
I know, but it just feels a bit wrong, don't it? You know,
no, doing. Not at all.
I don't know. Just
oh, those lovely bookie checks. Joking. Smash away.
I don't know. But we've seen this happen before, and we like horses getting beaten in the Arc, and then suddenly. Coming out and I don't know if that's true. Yeah,
come on,
but
G-Rod,
it just feels like that is true. But
in one sentence, what are you going to do here?
I've got no obvious reason why Waldgeist will reverse the form.
But you're going to back it anyway.
But I'm going to back it anyway.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, not at all. Niall, can you make sense?
I'll try. I couldn't back Enable at the price for all if she's in it. At her best, she'll be very difficult to beat. I'm actually a very big Magical fan. I really liked how she won at Ascot last time in what could actually work out to be a very strong race. Like, you had a decent yardstick in Coronet in second, and good horses like Latidare and Kitesurfing behind. Before that, Magical ran a cracker from the back of the field in the Arc, and she just had the right profile for me for this race. They obviously won it with Found a few years ago, and she's a very similar profile coming into it. I think she'll just be given a nice weight and ride, and I definitely think she's the each-way bet against Enable. I think she could actually beat her if Enable's below form.
Okay, so there you go. You've got an actual bookmaker there, G-Rod, proposing you do dirty each-way bets. So don't worry about it, mate. You lump on, honestly. Keels, what are you going to do with this
talking
one?
Talking of the dirty each-ways, I think we're in a preview of the Breeders' Cup today, isn't it? The last two Breeders' Cups at Churchill Downs, Europe only had three winners across the two of them, something like that. So it's not been the best venue for the Euros, that's for sure. But Enable, we all know she does win if she's at her best. But having a really hard race when you're 80% fit, is that a good thing? Is it likely to bring you on, or is it likely to set you back? I'm not 100% sure. I'm same as Niall. I mean, I'm a big Magical fan. She was quite eye-catching when she was running on late in the Arc, and then she was extremely well back to Ascot and really won that fillies and mares quite easily. I think she is the each way bet in the race.
Righty-ho, the highlight of the 2 days is the Breeders' Cup Classic on the dirt, 1.2 miles, and it's an open sort of contest. Niall, how do Paddy Power bet?
So Accelerate is our 3-1 favourite, McKinsey is 7-2, West Coast 11-2, Catholic Boy is 6-1, Mendelssohn is 17-2, Roaring Lion 11-1, Thundersnow 12-1, Yoshida 12-1, and Mind Your Biscuits 12-1 and 28-1 Ginerva, and Discreet Lover is 33.
11-1 Roaring Lion.
40 bar.
Okay, he's gone for a real walk, hasn't he? Roaring Lion. I didn't realise it was as big as 11-1. That draw, they reckon he's no good to him, don't they?
I'm actually intrigued to see him run here, and all the lads on the international desk were telling me I'm completely wrong, but I'm going to back him to win. He's not an each way bet because I could easily see him finishing last here. He's a similar price to Mendelssohn. I just think he's a far superior horse to him. So at the price, I'm just going to have a win bet in Roaring Lion.
Okay.
Not confident, though.
I'm intrigued to hear about your international desk. Have they spewed out anything that you've thought, that's interesting, I'll back that?
But they have, but I just can't remember the names.
All right. It's always the way, isn't it?
Check my phone here.
Text us later now. Keels, who do you think will win the Classic?
No, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about the Americans. Thundersnow is a World Cup winner. He's 14-1. That's quite interesting. Everyone says, Roaring Lion's a US-bred horse, but I read somewhere that it's US-bred for turf, really. I'd love to see him go well because that was a really, really gutsy win at Ascot last time, and conditions that he genuinely did hate. Love to see it, but I can't see it. So, you know, if anything, I'd be placed laying him, but I don't really want to do that. So okay. I'll leave it alone.
Rightio, and Graham, have you got a view?
I don't really know much about these Americans. I do know that I don't fancy Roaring Lion at all. For me, he's a horse with a good turn of foot over this trip. And horses with good turn of foot on dirt tend to get lost.
You need to be grinded, do you?
Yeah, I think you need to be a bit slow and gutsy and, you know, hardy and tough. And I'm not saying Roaring Lion isn't that. I think he is. But that draw also could be a bit of a killer in two. Apparently, you know, if he misses it, he's going to end up behind, and that isn't the place to be. I think the prep tells you all you need to Mendelssohn, really. I mean, they're desperate to win this race, aren't they, the Cornwall team? And they haven't messed around this year. They haven't sort of been racing Mendelssohn in Europe. I mean, they've campaigned him like a dirt horse. You know, they have put a lot of effort in to try and get him right for this race. There's potentially a lot of pace on in the race, and that could be an issue for him because he will go forward. But he's a fair price. Considering how much effort they've put in, and around about 10 to 1, I just wonder if he might be able to grind his way into a place. I will bet in this race because it's a Breeders' Cup or whatever. But
of course, yeah, it's well hammered by this.
Probably, yeah, probably. Okay. But it's,
so you think Mendelssohn?
Yeah, but it's not confident. Obviously.
Okay, well, neither Keels nor G-Rod would claim to be our best US judge. That's probably not. It's not even probably. It is Ron Wood, and you can catch his Breeders' Cup thoughts in the guise of Spotlight on the Racing Post app or in the Racing Post newspaper tomorrow. Well worth checking out. Ron Wood is a great judge on the Breeders' Cup.
I do have a couple of tips for Friday. Will we be out early enough?
Yeah, well, at the rate you're going, we won't even be out early enough for Saturday, but we'll slip them in anyway.
These aren't from me. Just my brother's there, and he always texts me, you know, from the track. He always texts me some good stuff and, you know, usually comes up with something. And he has sent me two today.
Go on, quickly.
Quickly, he says, newspaper of record.
Newspaper of record, okay.
Yeah, for Chad Brown.
Which one's that in?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
On Friday and 9:22, I think. Yeah, line of duty for Charlie Appleby. Very
brilliant.
Confident, apparently.
Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Niall O'Reilly, who is your best bet on Saturday?
Yeah, so 3 o'clock Ascot, simply the bets.
Okay, Keels.
Shantou Rock, 2:25, Ascot, can't see it getting beat.
And G-Rod.
I'm loath to go against Niall, but I really fancy Fiducks for that 3 o'clock at Ascot.
Okay, thank you, lads. Sunday next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly looking ahead to a really interesting Sunday. If I read out the meetings, you might think, that doesn't sound that exciting. It's Nace and Cork in Ireland, Carlisle and Huntingdon in England. But there's some really good horses running, some decent stuff. I am just going to throw the floor over to the guys. Keels, who should we be backing on Sunday?
One race you absolutely mustn't miss is the 3:45 at Carlisle. It's just a brilliant intermediate chase. The Colin Parker Memorial over 2.5 miles.
You always get good horses.
You don't normally get it as competitive as this. Now we've got three horses, surname Mr. Whitaker and Thomas Patrick, all super progressive last year, all still only six. One of them Cheltenham Festival winner, Mr. Whitaker. You've also got a couple of mares that won loads of times between them last year, Rennie's Girl and Happy Diva. And an outsider who's still got winning form. I really like Surname when he's running on soft ground, and it ain't going to be that. And I really like Mr. Whitaker, who won his last two races on soft ground last year, but Mick Shannon's always said he wants decent ground. He looked like he wanted decent ground earlier in the season. He obviously won the novice at the novice chase at the festival. He'd just about be the one for me, but I mean, it's just a race you've got to watch. I mean, there are some seriously progressive horses in it.
Okay, any other fancies?
There was one more, a couple more. If Chitibello stays in 3:10 at Carlisle, he's gone up to 2.5 miles. He gets good, you know, he did a lot of running and ran well on soft ground last year. But, you know, again, now the Dan Scantle has always said he wanted good ground, and that's what it looked like early in his career. He's going to be running on good ground up to 2.5 miles. If he stays, I think he'd take a fair bit of beating.
From the Sky, the most likely outcome there is that he finishes out the back of the telly.
Okay.
And last time out winner in the 240, looking out like Brian. All he did last time was stay. It was over three and a half furlong at this track. He's up another two furlongs. That has to be in his favour. Again, he's a young horse, 7-year-old, trained by Tim Bourne. Richard Johnson on board has to go well.
Okay, G-Rod, apart from Place Lane Chitabello, what else has the tracker thrown up? The legendary G-Rod 3,000 horse tracker.
You know, I ran it today. You know, through Raceform Interactive, you press a button and it brings it up. And I was so disappointed because everything was at on the all-weather, Newcastle and somewhere else. And I'm not really betting on the all-weather at the moment. I'm trying to concentrate and jump. Anyway, it's not a track horse, but in that race where Chitabello won't stay, the 3:10 at Carlisle, I really like Petticoat Towels for Warren Great Tricks. A really strong stayer, unlike Hills's one. We'll be coming home like a train up that hill, and I think we'll be suited by that race. I mean, a competitive race like that.
Who gets beaten further?
Chitabello.
Chitabello, or what's your one? Adrian De Point.
That 3:45 race is an absolute cracker. I mean, it's a really tough race to call. I think Mr. Whittaker would win it if he is fully right first time up, because I think there's going to be plenty of pace on. Surname always goes a good clip. Happy Diva will be up there, and Mr. Whittaker is well suited by a strongly run race. Obviously at this time of year, though, it's like Hill said earlier, it's not always about the best horse. Sometimes it's about the fittest horse, and I'm not sure that he is going to be that. I might go to Huntingdon on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Do like an afternoon up at Huntingdon. But
it's a lovely track, isn't it?
It's
I
a
went
great
there for the first
track.
Time last year. Very pleasant place.
Yeah, nice. But I don't have any fancies there yet.
Okay.
But I will have.
Righty-ho. And Niall, what have you got for us for Sunday?
Yeah, so I just have two. The first one is in the 3 o'clock Nace. It's the November handicap. I thought New Cross was very eye-catching, the Irish's Arch last time, where he probably just didn't see out the trip of 2 miles. He dropped back to a mile six here, which I think will suit a lot better. I think he'll have a big chance at a decent price. He's a reserve at the moment and needs two to come out, but I'm hopeful they will. So yeah, he'd be the one for me. In the 3:45, yeah, I actually really like Surname. I think the key to him is just going right-handed. I know what Keels is saying about the ground. I didn't have that as a concern myself. I thought he'd be probably one of the most forward of the bunch, and I think he'd take all the beating.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right then, Keels, tomorrow, you can't have missed the competition to win an afternoon at Ascot with Paul Keighley, and that moment has arrived. Who are your competition winners?
Yeah, no, as far as I know, one competition winner was called Laura, the other was called Luke. I've no idea where they come from, how much they like about racing.
What's your advice to them if they come to
Ascot? Well, the competition was called Win an Afternoon with Paul Keighley, but there's going to be plenty of drinks, so it should have been Lose an Afternoon with Paul Keighley. just come and have a good laugh. It feels very weird to be a prize for anything. but yeah, I'm sure we'll have some fun.
Don't be ridiculous. We had three entries for it, mate. It was massively popular. And what are you going to do Sunday?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Absolutely no idea. Nothing planned.
Watch some racing, eh?
Maybe, yeah.
G-Rod, you might be going to Huntingdon on Sunday. What about Saturday's plans?
Yeah, Saturday, I'm going to London Stadium for West Ham versus Burnley. I was kind of torn because my local team, Dagenham and Redbridge, are playing Sutton, who is, you know, Andy Smith, one of our, you know, data operatives here. You know, he's a massive Sutton fan, and, you know, I usually always make the trip down to that one, but it is a long old way. And having had the ticket for the West Ham game, I've decided to shun the Sutton Dagenham and go to the West Ham game. But no doubt Sutton will also smash Dagenham as well. Dagenham are really struggling.
Oh, we've got a football tip from G-Rod as well. And Niall, what about you?
Yeah, I'm actually working all weekend again, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
No real plans at all. Pretty sad.
Oh, never mind. Okay then, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Jolly good. Hopefully there's plenty of winners in that lot. If you do enjoy the shows, please do make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Maddie's back on Monday to look back on this weekend and look ahead to what we've got coming up next weekend. We've got golf with Steve and Ian on Wednesday, football Thursday, and we are back next Friday for another weekend racing postcast.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.